communicate. Radio, the sound of year-round pleasure.
WILO, Frankfort, Indiana.
We're bringing the programs to you. That's right, HoosierLandTV.com will bring you the full telecast of the Hemp Agronomics Program on Monday, December 9th. It's between 8:30 and noon at the Clinton County 4-H Fairgrounds Building. Join us as we present regional speakers who are helping to regulate and potentially profit from hemp. Our telecast brought to you by the Farmers Bank, Gems Heating and Air Conditioning, Schultz IGA, Home National Bank, ProBuy Computer Sales and Service, and Wilson Farm Market. Just log on Monday morning, December 9th at HoosierLandTV.com for the Hemp Agronomics Program from your regional ag leader, WILO, at HoosierLandTV.com, a division of Casper Media.
Merry Christmas!
It's time again for Children's 12 Days of Christmas from WILO.
Parents and grandparents can register their kids ages 3 through 10 at the following locations.
Ellis Jewelers, Encompass Credit Union, both locations, Faith Family Church, Holden Pharmacy, Wampler Services, Layden's Furniture and Mattress in Frankfort. Plus, you can register at the Boys and Girls Club in Frankfort and the Y.
That's right. Get your little ones registered now. Then be listening every weekday morning at 7:20 with Todd Berryman as he draws winners every weekday through December 17th. Then on the 12th day, we will draw a name from each location and give away a bicycle.
It's the Children's 12 Days of Christmas on WILO from the station that still believes in Santa, WILO.
Party Line is now on TV. That's right, every Party Line program now live and archived at WILOTV.com. Thanks to our sponsors for making this possible. They are Schultz IGA, Gems Heating and Air Conditioning, and WILO.
When you need to know.
Because there's nicotine in it, follows the same guidelines as buying cigarettes. If you're under the age of 18, you can't possess it.
On the air first, when seconds count.
We know that youth sports is one way for kids to see what they can achieve, for them to build positive relationships with adults, and for them to build positive relationships with one another. And they learn such valuable life lessons.
The news team you've come to depend on.
To sign that lease, there had to be a commitment to pay the rental income that would be necessary to make the bond payments. So today the council, through the ordinances that we passed, gave our assent and our commitment that we would provide the financing or the funding to pay those debt service payments.
Your official weather station.
This is 32 additional homes in the price range of $175,000 to $215,000. Right now, F&K Construction, who is going to be doing all of the road work and utility work, are going through their final plat approval process.
On the air first from your official weather station. WILO.
People ask a lot of questions about Ivy Tech Community College. Like, can an Ivy Tech degree get me a good career? Well, some say good, and some say great. In 2 years or less, you can earn an associate degree or certificate, qualifying you for some of Indiana's fastest-growing career fields, and earning you an average of $37,777 the first year after graduation. Find your answers at ivytech.edu/FAQ. Then apply for free at ivytech.edu.
Welcome back to WILO's Party Line on this Monday morning. I want to thank our sponsors. Welty Custom Exteriors, Welty works for you. Susan Casper, State Farm Insurance, like a good neighbor, Susan is there. Encompass Credit Union, community-minded just like you. Miller Healthcare, Ivy Tech Community College, changing lives. Simple Time Antique, step back into a simple time. ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, your free local online newspaper. Plus our telecast online at HoosierLandTV.com, made possible by the Farmers Bank, Gems Heating and Air Conditioning, Schultz IGA, Home National Bank, Wilson Farm Market, and ProBuy Computer, Sales and Service. I'm Kevin Keith, joined with WILO News Director Ken Hartman and State Senator Brian Buchanan from Lebanon in the studio. Brian, good morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
We're doing very good for a Monday. Anyway.
Hey, Monday after Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah. We're still kind of recovering, but doing all right. Welcome to Frankfort, and always good to see you.
Yeah, good to be here. Appreciate the invite.
So Ken and I are going to tag team you this half hour. We got a ton of questions for you. We do encourage our listeners to call in. This is a chance to talk with Brian Buchanan directly. And we've got one of our regulars, Larry, who would like to talk to the senator right away. Larry, good morning again to you.
Good morning, sir. Good morning, Senator.
Hey, Larry, how you doing?
I am fine.
Good.
I would like for you to contemplate legislation on grandparents' rights for grandchildren.
Okay, what are you thinking?
I'm thinking we need that law.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good one, Larry.
Because a lot of grandparents don't get to see their grandchildren when they have an argument or a disagreement with the grandchildren's parents.
Yeah, oftentimes a divorce or something. Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly.
Now, I know there are some rights for grandparents, but oftentimes it kind of gets into, because I have had some personal experience with this, it's like, you don't want to tick this person off in the family, and you want to have a good relationship with them. So sometimes you kind of let things just go and try to see the kids as much as you can. But I know grandparents do have some rights, but what they are, Larry, I'm not for sure.
Yeah, and I'll be honest with you. I'm not real sure what they are. I will say it's interesting on your timing, because I've heard some conversation, not so much from my colleagues in the Indiana General Assembly, but just some other folks mentioned this recently about you know grandparents' rights and how they can be involved and where they can be involved. And you know, I don't know, it may be something that at least gets some discussion, quite frankly, before I even really comment on it. I need to familiarize myself with the law and what exactly those rights are, and you know what the boundaries are.
And I am very lacking in the knowledge about the grandparents' rights also, but I know that there are some of the people I've heard talk are refusing the grandparents the right to visit their grandchildren.
Okay, yeah, and again, I'm not sure what the, you know, what the law is right now, but I'd be happy to take a look at it, kind of review it, and, you know, see if there is some practical, realistic things we could do, you know, maybe try to do them, but I gotta figure out first what the law is and what it says.
And then I have a request.
Yes, sir.
I would like for you to make this a monthly occurrence.
Oh, here in the studio?
Yes, sir.
I'd be glad to. I'll answer anybody's questions anytime. So,
yeah, that's what we've tried to do, Larry. Here is make sure it works out with everybody's schedule,
right.
And he's always the senator has always made himself available to us.
Yeah.
I know, but I've also known that there's been a real silence from our elected representatives for a while.
It has been. That's a nice way to put it, Larry.
Yeah.
And I'll let you all go, but that was a question I really wanted to know.
All right. Well, thank you for bringing that up. We'll see what we can do. At least take a look at it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Larry. Appreciate that. If you would like to talk to the senator or Ken or myself, 659-3338 or 800-447-4463. So what are we looking for in the General Assembly, Brian? What's some of the big topics here this next session?
You know, we're actually just a little bit over a month out. I think we go back into session January 5th or 6th, whatever that Monday is there after New Year. And, you know, I don't know exactly. You never know exactly what you're getting into with legislation and what's going to kind of be the surprise that kind of, where'd this come from, piece of legislation. But there's a few pieces, I think, that are kind of rising to the top that are getting a lot of attention. One of them is healthcare and healthcare cost. And I don't know if you guys saw, but there's been a couple reports out recently talking about healthcare cost in Indiana. And I believe we rank somewhere as far as, you know, from one being the lowest cost to 50, the highest, I think we're around in the 30s, 34, 35, I want to say.
I may have seen something on that a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, and I think people are trying to figure out, you know, what can we do in Indiana to bring down healthcare costs? And, you know, quite frankly, healthcare, there's a lot of federal regulation. It's very much a federal government issue. But trying to figure out what do we do that makes us more expensive with healthcare costs than Michigan, for say. You know, Michigan's similar demographics. So taking a look at that, I know some things that might get looked at are, you know, hospital foundations, pharmacy benefit managers, you know, trying to maybe more transparency. I've heard the idea of, you know, what would be the challenges with putting price tags on operations or procedures before you have them done for more competition. So quite frankly, I don't know where that's going to go. And to be realistic, I don't know, you know, how much we can realistically get done in a 10-week short session.
Yeah.
I also believe in the healthcare world, it's a very tangled web. You start talking about insurance companies and hospitals and doctors. And again, I think all are good players in good faith. But at the same time, we want to be careful not to do one thing that is, you know, something good that has some adverse in it. Unintended consequences,
right.
I guess you can say. So it's going to get a lot of conversation. I can assure you that healthcare is. There's a lot of eyes on it. Another topic I think that's probably going to get some discussion is education. You probably heard about in the news recently. I know you guys have been covering it. You know, the Red for Ed rally and just education in general. We're going to get some more discussion there and try to see what we can do to kind of bridge that gap, you know, between schools and try to help them, you know, provide more resources. I will say last year was a year with record funding. But, you know, obviously there's probably more we should do and more we can certainly look at. And so between healthcare, education, and I think there's always eyes on, you know, economic development, job growth, job training. We have a lot of employers in Indiana that still, you know, they come here, they want to bring in 300 new jobs, and they can only find maybe 150 people. So try to kind of bridge that gap as well.
Yeah, we've found that in Frankfort. You know,
yeah.
There's a lot of good factory jobs, but the people who want a job have a job,
know. And that is all the way across Indiana. You go anywhere, generally people are just hiring nonstop because they're trying to find people, good people.
Yeah, yeah. Well, going back to the health care, yeah, there's a lot of money involved in that, and then you get the lobbyists and stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't know if there's a whole lot the state legislature can do or not.
Well, and I think that's what there's a lot of people taking a look at. A lot of my colleagues, and I've been having some good conversations, and, you know, there may be some low-hanging fruit, but trying to find that, and again, I think the big key is trying to do something that doesn't have unintended consequences, mm-hmm. because this is a very connected, very tangled web. And
yeah, you touch one thing and something down the line.
Yeah,
really,
and your one thing over here, okay, it's good. It's going to benefit a lot of people. And the thing over here, okay, say you're going to have a negative. You're going to raise cost over here. So this is what I've learned about healthcare. It is a very tangled web between hospitals, insurance companies, and, you know, and then I get it too from the hospital and doctor side. You know, they want to get reimbursed for their, you know, the operation, or they want to get paid for whatever they did.
Sure.
And sometimes insurance companies make it difficult, but then insurance companies want to protect themselves. And
it's just,
there's a lot
surgery that really needed.
Yeah. So there's a lot to unpack and unfold there. And my question is, again, why does a, you know, like a Michigan have, I keep using them because I believe they actually had pretty favorable healthcare costs. Why are their costs overall lower than Indiana's?
Yeah. And what could we do to maybe?
Yeah.
Get some of that here.
And quite frankly, the healthcare, it is something we do got to do something, because I will say Indiana is very attractive for businesses to relocate here, grow here, develop here. You know, we're just a very attractive business climate. However, the one thing I know a lot of employers that look at Indiana, one of the negatives, and starting to become bigger and bigger, is the healthcare cost.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when they look at the pie, if should they come to Indiana or not, that healthcare cost is getting bigger and bigger on the radar screen, and I just wonder if we don't start to look at this, it is going to have some adverse effects, and quite frankly, maybe cost us some economic development, job growth here.
So we have the go ahead, Ken.
No, I was going to delve into education, which I.
Yeah, I had a couple follow-up.
No, go ahead. I'll be glad. I love education. Glad to talk about it.
This could get fun. Correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like your colleagues are pushing for private and, you know, education. They're private. They're pushing for charter. They're pushing for all those type of specialized education. What's going to happen when you do all of that and there's no public schools left? What are those kids going to do? And that has never been discussed at any level, at any length. And I think you guys need to do it very soon.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I will say that is a fair question. And, you know, I don't know if I totally agree with it. Colleagues are pushing for private education. You know, I'm one that I just want to, you know, I want to see kids get a quality education. I don't really, you know, wherever it is, whether it's a traditional public, whether it's a private school, charter school, I want kids to have quality education. I do know, and again, I've not heard that exactly from my colleagues. You know, a lot of them are just pushing for quality education. I know many of my colleagues, at least my state senators, several of them have kids like myself, and I believe at least some of the ones I can think of, I send my kids to traditional public schools. I'm an education major. So there is a lot of respect for still traditional public schools. And you know, but I think your question is fair. I think there's that perception out there that we have to work on as state legislators that, you know, we're for quality education. We're for giving kids the best opportunities they can to grow, develop, and learn. And, you know, quite frankly, I think one of the things we got to do, I just think there's just a lot of animosity right now. I don't know what the right word is.
That's a good one.
It seems like there is this perception. Again, I don't think it's reality. It's perception that legislators do not like teachers, and teachers do not like legislators. And again, I think it's perception, because I've been all across my Senate district quite a bit and spent some fair amount of time in schools. I was over here at Suncrest, probably a month and a half ago, spent, you know, the better part of a half day and just, you know, all the way up to North White High School. And everywhere I went, teachers are very welcoming. You know, they very much like to share what they're doing. They like to show me what they're doing. And you know, we have some great conversations. Now, is there more we can do in education? Probably so. I don't know exactly what that is. I think we need to have some very serious, honest, realistic conversations. I also think education is probably going to continue to look different in the next 15 to 20 years. I just think with technology and, you know, I think we're having some discussions about rural schools. You know, I know particularly rural schools are struggling as well, because if they lose 10 or 15 kids, it affects them a whole lot more than a school with, you know, yeah, four or 5,000 kids. So it's, you know, I know some of our schools, I've had conversations with, you know, some of your schools, Rossville, Clinton Central, North White, Tri-County. You know, you take 10 kids out of that school, okay, you're probably anywhere from $60,000 to $80,000 in state funding. Mm-hmm. If those kids are spread out over three or four, let's say five grades, you can't really get rid of a teacher.
Right.
You know, but if it affects, you know, our larger corporations with 5,000, 6,000, 7,000, 8,000 students, they can absorb it a little easier. But so I think we're going to have a serious conversation. How can we help fill that gap?
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, it is.
About how
to
fill the gap, like you said.
Yeah, but we've got a lot of work to do, and I think more than anything else, we just need more dialogue. I think we need more dialogue between legislators and educators, and trying to involve educators, teachers more in discussions.
Well, locally, our teachers have got a raise recently, right, Ken? What was it, 2.5% or something?
Yeah, that's what most are trying to get at least every year.
And I think that was on a Tuesday or a Wednesday, and then the week after that, they had the Red for Ed March, and all the teachers were down there. And I had a couple people call me saying, look, they're making $51,000 a year. What more do they want?
Said that to you, that's not true.
They agree and signed on for that.
Well, but I'm just saying, what you just said is not true.
Well, 51 is not accurate for Frankfort.
No, not even close.
That's what the state
is supposed to
be, right?
What is accurate? I don't know.
I know 51,000 here is totally inaccurate.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's more it's more like about 36, I think, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah. And again, that's each school, depending on what money they have.
But here
comes from the state.
The problem is that I think what you need to think about is the fact you have the Carmels, you have the Zionsvilles, you have all of those type of schools that are at a completely different level than what the Frankfurts, the Clinton Prairies, the Clinton Centrals, and all those. I think you need to maybe find a way to split it apart, or find a way to make sure it's equally funded some way, somehow, because some of the schools, like you said, some of those are getting 51.
Right.
We're not going to see that around here. And we're never
Are you talking as far as teacher salary?
Yes. That's what they had done a thing with all the states, and Indiana was, I forget where they were at, but it was near the bottom.
Well, you know, I agree. And I've had some good conversations with teachers, and, you know, anytime somebody says, hey, the state needs to get involved in teacher pay, or if you had one talk to me about class size, and, you know, okay, I think that's a fair point, but then I'm like, do you really want state government do you really want to set in teacher pay, set in your class size? I mean, we're getting very involved, and I'd much rather let that to your local school board superintendent.
Okay, now how does that get changed back to that then?
Get
changed back to the locals taking care of that? Because in all honesty, it's really not quite that way.
As far as pay?
No, as far as the state's getting involved in education, you know, they're trying to dictate to a certain. There's way too much testing for one thing.
I agree. People say that, but there's actually only one test that schools are required to give. It's the iLearn. There's a lot of other formative tests, developmental tests, I guess you want to call it, that are, I'm going to say, optional, but they do help the kids. You know, I believe they wouldn't give them if they didn't see value in it, but there's only one test that the schools are required to give, and that's the iLearn. Other tests kind of lead up to preparation.
And the iLearn, from what I hear, is not worth it, not any better than what the iStep was.
Well, I think there's going to be some discussion over that. I've quite frankly talked with some teachers, administrators, and others, and I have some concerns over that too, just as far as how it's administered, and I've heard some kind of the processes of it. And now, do I think we'll throw it out the window? I'm not, you know, saying either way on that. I want to learn more about it, but there are some valid concerns, I think, that are going to get discussed. I wouldn't be surprised if it comes up this year, just about the iLearn and where we're going to go with it. And that's always a tough one for me, because I'm like, you know, I understand people say testing, and, you know, sometimes we do too much of it. But at the same time, you know, I personally, want to see growth on a student more than I do.
Yeah.
You know, wherever, because if a
student. Don't want it stagnant.
Yeah.
Let's just sit around.
If
yeah.
a student comes in reading at, you know, level 2 and they go up to level 8, that's great. But what if that kid comes in reading at level 8 and they go up to level 9?
Yeah, I mean,
you know,
yeah. I know what you're saying.
Yeah. It's like you got to have that growth, but at the same time, too, you got to have something where the rubber hits the road and the schools have to get an accurate accounting of who knows what and how mm-hmm. much they know of it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the constant complaint I always hear is that everybody's teaching for tests and they're not actually teaching to teach.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well,
I've heard that.
I've heard that. And we've got to change that somehow. I agree with that.
Let's take a quick break. We'll come back and wrap it up next on WILO.
At Milner Community Healthcare, we're blessed to be a part of restoring people's lives every day. From our loving and dedicated nursing team to our highly skilled therapist, Milner is your place for short-term rehabilitation. We treat a wide range of conditions using clinical programs proven to get the best results. Our goal is the same as yours, to get you back to good health and home as quickly as possible. Make the right choice for your recovery. Choose Milner Community Healthcare.
Looking forward, reaching
when it comes to service, we take it personally. You see, we're small enough to remember your name, but we're also big enough to handle all your financial needs, no matter how they grow. Encompass Credit Union, federally insured by NCUA, community-minded just like you.
Looking forward, reaching higher.
When you need to know.
Because there's nicotine in it, follows the same guidelines as buying cigarettes. If you're under the age of 18, you can't possess it.
On the air first when seconds count.
We know that youth sports is one way for kids to see what they can achieve, for them to build positive relationships with adults, and for them to build positive relationships with one another. And they learn such valuable life lessons.
The news team you've come to depend on.
To sign that lease, there had to be a commitment to pay the rental income that would be necessary to make the bond payment. So today, the council, through the ordinances that we passed, gave our assent and our commitment that we would provide the financing or the funding to pay those debt service payments.
Your official weather station.
This is 32 additional homes in the price range of $175,000 to $215,000. Right now, F&K Construction, who is going to be doing all of the road work and utility work, are going through their final plat approval process.
On the air first from your official weather station, WILO.
When I was little, I didn't talk for a long time. I liked things to always be the same. Anything new or different would scare and upset me. I was very sensitive to lights and sounds. It was almost like I had bigger eyes and ears than everyone else. So I built secret hiding places where nothing could get in. I didn't like looking people in the eye. It made me feel uncomfortable. I'd throw big tantrums over little things, like when my socks didn't match. Sometimes I'd do the same things over and over, until one day I found out I had autism. My family got me help. Slowly, I learned how to live with it better.
You can see signs of autism in children as young as 18 months. Early intervention can make a lifetime of difference. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
The news team you've come to depend on is expanding our news coverage area online. Log on to the new BoonCountyDailyNews.com to find out the latest going on in Lebanon, Zionsville, and all points in between and all throughout Boone County. Tell a friend and check back often as we continue to add new content daily. The news resources of WILO and Casper Media work around the clock to keep Boone County covered. Just log on to BoonCountyDailyNews.com for the latest in-depth news, weather, and sports information for Boone County.
Welcome back to WILO's Party Line on this Monday morning. I want to thank our sponsors, Wealthy Custom Exteriors, Susan Casper State Farm Insurance, Encompass Credit Union, Milner Healthcare, Ivy Tech Community College, Simple Time Antiques, and ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, plus our telecast online at HoosierlandTV.com, made possible by the Farmers Bank, Jim's Heating and Air Conditioning, Schultz IGA, Home National Bank, Wilson Farm Market, and ProBike Computer Sales and Service. I'm Kevin Keith. We've got WILO News Director Ken Hartman with me, plus State Senator Brian Buchanan joining us in the studio. Yes. For just about another 4 minutes. What about hemp in the state of Indiana. We're having a big session at Clinton County next week. What is it, Ken? A week from today?
Yeah, Purdue Extension from 8:30 to noon is having a big session.
Yeah, they're going to talk about it. They're going to have some Purdue agronomics professors over there and talk about what worked this past season, since this was the first season for some Indiana farmers to grow some hemp.
I know hemp is something, you know, now you can grow for agriculture, industrial purposes here in Indiana, and I know quite a few agriculture producers are looking at it. I don't really know where it's going to go, but I know there's a lot of people excited about it and trying to see how they could use it as a crop, in Indiana.
So that's pretty exciting.
I mean, they can use it, I understand, for clothing, for seats and automobiles, quite a few uses. Yeah. So I'm really anxious, quite frankly, to see where it goes and what happens.
Me too.
Where's Don Leahy when you really need
him? I need to phone a friend or something. He knows more about this than I do. Yeah.
I know he does.
We did have Carl Lane on the line. He had a question. Carl, we invite you to call back. I guess either I accidentally hung up on him or he accidentally hung up on us. He might have thought we were too close. We do have about 3 minutes. So, Carl, we would love to take your phone call if you'd like to give us a buzz back. All right. So we talked healthcare and education, and this is a short session, just 8 or 10 weeks, as you said.
10 weeks.
Ten weeks.
Yeah.
Okay. So, so what do you just? Is there usually one or two topics that kind of pop up that we may not have seen coming down the road?
Oh yeah, you know, we always kind of have our priorities, which I believe this year will probably be healthcare and education and obviously economic development. But this is going into my third session. I was there for half a session last year, all of it, and then this one. So it seems like there's always something that rises to the top that no one expects that takes up a lot of time and energy, and quite frankly, a lot of healthy discussion. So I don't know what that'll be, but I'm sure there'll be something. So.
Carl, good morning to you.
Yes, good morning, Kevin, Ken, and Mr. Senator.
Yes, good morning.
You talk about schools, and the teachers want more money. You talk about medical to get it down. Everything takes so much money. We're broke. We are literally broke. Now, the state of Indiana's got some money, but $2 or $3 billion ain't no money when you start shelling out for all this other stuff. And you got to have a rainy day fund. I say that's fine. Give the teachers more money if we have it. You can't keep raising property taxes because a lot of property taxes go to the schools.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people don't pay taxes for schools.
Yeah,
that's a huge.
So let's put it. Let's make it fair across the board. Let's raise sales tax where everybody pays for it for schools and hospitalization and all this other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You can't keep raising taxes. We are broke.
Mm-hmm.
The government is $22 trillion in debt, but they don't talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Someday you have to pay it, or we're going to go broke. Like they said, Rome will not fall, but it did.
Yeah, I hear you.
Let's get in a ball game. Everybody in Washington, D.C., and let's get some things solved that we're not solving the problems. So, hey, you guys have a wonderful day.
Thanks,
Carl.
Well, I appreciate your comments. So.
Yeah. Hey, you know, Carl's a fiscal hawk. He likes to. He's one of those, if I'm budgeting my book, so should the government.
Well, and I will say, I understand, you know, luckily, I mean, you know, I deal more with Indiana government than federal government.
He has
a blessing. I tell people all the time, you know, we do have a surplus, and Carl kind of mentioned it. You got to have that reserve, because I think it would operate the state for 41 or 42 days if we didn't have any income. And, you know, people sometimes talk to us about using that, but at the same time, you know, it's not sustainable, you know, so if you do something with it, what's going to go away, then what are you going to do in the future? And, federal government, boy, I don't, that's for our Congressman Jim Baird, Senators Mike Braun and Todd Young to figure that one out. I did learn a fact, I believe somebody said that, I learned this from one of the senators' office, that the federal government brings in about, I think, $3.4 trillion every year, and I think they spend $4.3 trillion or so. It's crazy.
Not sustainable, for sure.
Yeah.
Right? Well, Brian, always good to see you, and thanks again. Hopefully we'll see you before the end of the year, but if not, happy Thanksgiving and Merry Christmas
and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, and thanks, Ken, for hanging out.
Not a problem.
All right. And thanks to you for joining us, and thanks to our sponsors, too. They are Welty Custom Exteriors, Susan Casper State Farm Insurance, and Compass Credit Union, Milner Miller Healthcare, Ivy Tech Community College, Simple Time Antiques, and ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, plus our telecast online at HoosierlandTV.com, made possible by the Farmers Bank, Jim's Heating and Air Conditioning, Schultz IGA, Home National Bank, Wilson Farm Market, and ProBike Computer Sales and Service. Back with more Party Line tomorrow morning at 8:30. Have a great day from WILO.
You've been listening to Party Line on 1570 AM and 96.9 FM WILO. Join us again tomorrow morning at 8:30 for our live broadcast, then again at 5 p.m. for the Party Line replay. Party Line is a presentation of Casper Media, keeping you connected for over 60 years. Nobody talks more about Clinton County than WILO.